Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Oh, we are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz recapping Wild Card Saturday and Sunday. Also turning the page to great action next weekend in the NFL. A lot to get to today, George, but did want to recap. I mean, we saw great action across the National Football League. It started on Saturday, ended late last night. Have a big ball game tonight in L.A. with the Rams, a 3.5-point favorite over the Arizona Cardinals right now. Matt Stafford and Kyler Murray squaring off. Both teams split the regular season. We'll get into that game in a little bit, but best game of the weekend for me was Las Vegas and Cincinnati. Game went right down to the wire. Joe Burrow and the crew prevail. And then the worst game for this wild card weekend had to be the battle in Buffalo. We expected a very close ball game. New England didn't show up in any capacity. Gets absolutely boat raced by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, did we expect a close game? Why? I mean, once again, the last game in New England was a blowout as well. The only reason the first game might have been close was because of the 50-mile-per-hour winds. The Bills were the better team. We knew that going in here. New England was going to need some weather that happened here. They got the coldness, but we also theorized, I know I said this a couple of times here, that we saw Aaron Rodgers throw in this weather without a problem in Green Bay just, two Monday nights ago? So it really shouldn't have been a problem for Josh Allen either, as long as there was going to be no wind, rain, snow, or anything like that. And that's what they got. Yeah, we got cold Buffalo weather. And God bless those fans, by the way. There's no way I'm going to that game. No way in hell. Joe, you couldn't pay me enough. Well, you could, but you get my point there. So I don't know why we were surprised so much. You know, all the credit in the world to Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels for what they've done, what they've done this season as far as that's concerned with the rookie quarterback, with the very few playmakers here. I think they've done a great job to get to where they're at. But that magic was going to run out, and it ran out Saturday. It ran out big time Saturday. Buffalo finally played like the team they are. We know they have more talent than New England. We know they have a team to beat in the AFC East, probably for the next few, maybe more than a few years. They're not going to want to run like New England. No one ever is again. But they're that team. I don't think we should be surprised about Saturday's result at all. Maybe the fact that it was 30 points. Maybe you want to be surprised by that. But the fact that Buffalo won easy? No. I don't think we should be shocked by that.
Yeah, I like Buffalo in the ball game. Didn't think they would win that ball game by 30 points. Thought that New England would take a game plan of maybe run the football. I didn't think that if they relied on Mac Jones to pull this ball game out on the road, especially with no wind, no elements in terms of the weather, that this would be a bad ball game for the New England Patriots in terms of a mismatch going up against that Buffalo Bills defense. And Josh Allen, broke out in a big way. 5 touchdown passes. We saw Singletary rush for over 80 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns as well. And how about big play tight end Dawson Knox, baby? 89 receiving yards on 5 receptions in a playoff spot. All Dawson Knox does is step up with touchdowns. He did have 2 receiving touchdowns in that ball game. But we saw low points this weekend, right? You mentioned possibly the changing of the guard in New England. Are we seeing a regression with Bill Belichick, even though he did get this team to the playoffs with Mac Jones? How about the total disappointment in Big D with your Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott? I got to be honest, George, they are completely dead to me after that pitiful performance, 23-17 against San Francisco. And then the late night blowout The late night blowout, though, between Kansas City and Big Ben Rottenberger, he stepped up, did not really showcase anything in maybe his last game as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Are we starting to see maybe Dallas, even though a great regular season, and Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin maybe being on the outside looking in 2022?
You think Mike Tomlin's getting fired?
Not fired, but this team is in a complete rebuild at this point. I mean, obviously they need a quarterback, right? They make it to the playoffs, limp into the playoffs. Can this team actually take it to the next level, you believe? Are they one player away, in your opinion, in 2022 from getting back to the playoffs and challenging for a division title? I don't think so.
Well, they made it with Ben, who's terrible. I mean, if they get a quarterback, sure, why not? They're in a tough division, right? Cincinnati's on the upswing. Cleveland, all right, they're sort of in the quarterback hell as well, right? So if they had a quarterback, they would do some damage. They might be the best overall team in that division, and they'll add to it, but the quarterback's a huge question mark, and Baltimore will be there. It's a rough, rough division. I think that's their biggest problem here. That's a rough, rough division here. But who's the quarterback? I mean, Tomlin's fine. I can't believe it. If Pittsburgh would fire Tomlin, he'd have 31 job offers. My God, he wouldn't be able to work along at all here. I'm a Cowboy fan. I would kill for Mike Tomlin. Joe Lisi, I would run you over in my truck 3 times if I could have Mike Tomlin as a coach of the Cowboys.
You didn't mention McCarthy.
Make sure.
Do you want McCarthy?
Oh, hell no. I'd run him over 38 times. Easy. So I don't think Tomlin's going anywhere here, but they need a quarterback. So until that question is answered, who the quarterback's going to be, if it's Mason Rudolph, no, they're going to make the playoffs again. They're going to bring in somebody much better than Rudolph.
All right, when we come back, we'll recap both of those games for Pittsburgh and Dallas. Turn the page to next week as well. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around, talking about Wild Card Weekend, also turning the page to this weekend's matchups. We left off talking about Pittsburgh and Dallas, and George and I were talking in the break, and I asked George legitimately, you know, if Pittsburgh were to play Kansas City again next year with a new quarterback, do you think from a defensive perspective they would step up and really make it a game? George is like, nah, not really. I said, well, what about Buffalo? No way. They most likely would win. I said, well, then how about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow? And he said, oh, best passing offense potentially in the AFC. And I said, Georgie boy, there's really no top teams left in the AFC. And that was my point in terms of I believe that Mike Tomlin will be there most likely. He's a great head coach. But this team, to me, is in a complete rebuild. They're not one quarterback away. I think the defense has taken a major step back, not in run support outside of TJ Watt. That defensive secondary got abused last night by the Kansas City offense, and I don't see it changing in 2022, Georgie boy.
Well, you don't know that, first off. I mean, there'll be moves to be made here. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, let's face it. If they bring in Aaron Rodgers, well, this whole question's moot. Now, we love Pittsburgh again. All right, they bring in Russell Wilson. We're going to like them again. If they bring in someone like, let's say, Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo, well, then we may like them a little bit more than we did this season, but not a whole lot more. All right, it depends what you – when you phrase your question, you phrase it as making the playoffs. Now you're sort of talking about making the Super Bowl. Do I think they're going to make the Super Bowl next year? No. I'm not even sure Aaron Rodgers fixes all their problems if they were to bring him in. You know, I don't think Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. I don't rule it out. They do have some weapons that he might like there, but they have other issues there where he may not want to go. And I think, you know, I do wonder where Aaron Rodgers is going to go if he's going to leave Green Bay. So you got to phrase your question, well, which way you want it. You know, you sort of phrase it one way, then you're talking about a second way. I thought you were talking about making the playoffs next year. I think they can make the playoffs, sure. Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? Not as currently constructed, but until you tell me who the quarterback's going to be, this question's moot. Because like I said, it's Rodgers, Wilson, I think it was a different conversation. But if it's like anybody less than those two, you know, they go with the rookie, then all bets are off the board.
Oh, well, we know Dak Prescott's going to be in Big D next year. That's the given, right? When you look at the performance yesterday, basically his 3.5-point home favorite. They fell behind, were never in sync early on, fell behind 13-0. They cut it to 13-7, trail at halftime 16-7, make a second-half run, lose that ball game 23-17. That was a terrible offensive game plan by Kellen Moore, I thought. I didn't see Tony Pollard used in terms of the run game. I didn't see him used in the short to intermediate passing game. And how the heck is CeeDee Lamb held to only one catch basically on the evening? All right, and you look at CeeDee Lamb over the last 8 games. This came up on Twitter. 52 targets, 32 receptions over the last 8 games, 397 yards, no touchdowns. In that particular spot with San Francisco in a divisional playoff appearance on the line, and you're Kellen Moore, you got to coach it up. And that was a pitiful performance. They are absolutely dead to me, George. I'm sorry, this team never lives up to expectations. I gave them a shot entering this ballgame, but credit Deebo Samuel. Credit the defense of San Francisco for stepping up in this ballgame.
Didn't I try and tell you this on Friday?
You did, and I didn't listen.
Right. I can't say this enough. The Cowboys are the same TV show over and over again, and it's the same show.
Are you sick of it?
It's a rerun. Over. Yes! This is why I don't get excited. This is why I wasn't surprised yesterday. Not surprised. They did. It's just a different ending. All right? Different ending. All right? Then they pull that. I mean, come on. Kellen Moore cost himself any chance of a head coaching job, right? He was the one who called that play, by the way. They found that out. He was the one who called the play. But Joe Lisi, you're the owner of whatever. Any team. Minnesota Vikings. You're the owner of the Minnesota Vikings. You're having an interview with Kellen Moore. Your first question has to be, what the hell was that final play call? Why did you call that? All right? You took 14 seconds left. You know, we've heard Chris Sims go on there that when he played under Bill Belichick and others, he was always told it was between 17 and 18 seconds you needed to get the next play. Peyton Manning said it's 16 seconds. Not 14. I don't care how much you practice it all week. Even if you thought it was 14, means everything has to go perfectly to get that off. As you saw, it did not go perfectly as Dak or the center bumped into the umpire there. All right, just idiotic. And by the way, even if you get it off, what's the point? It doesn't do you anything. You get now one shot at the end zone. If you throw it from the 40, you get at least 2 Hail Marys at the end, so maybe 3.
Right.
I have no words. I know talked on every show with you. I talked on Sunday. Every show, Cowboys couldn't do is penalties. Couldn't take the penalties. Pollard had to play. Dak had to get Cooper and CeeDee Lamb involved. Throw the ball into the secondary here. Have a time management. I even tweeted out time management early in the game. You know, something Dallas not very good at. It all came into play. I mean, they do the same stupid things over and over and over again.
Agreed. And you're absolutely right about the last play of the game. But can we look bigger picture? The game wasn't won and lost on that last play. Granted, they should have given themselves an opportunity at maybe 2 cracks at the end zone. But let's look at the big picture. You come out, you know this is a team you have to take seriously. You know this isn't the Philadelphia Eagles or the New York Giants or the Washington football team where you have the better weapons. This is a team, in terms of San Francisco, that's going to punch you in the mouth, right? The rivalry, the tradition. We know about these games going back to the early 90s and even before that with Dwight Clark. The San Francisco 49ers were going to come to play in Big D on Sunday afternoon. That was no doubt in terms of Kyle Shanahan and their offensive and defensive game plan. What I don't understand, if I'm Mike McCarthy and he's sitting there like dumb as a stump, just looking there with that flak jacket and the baseball hat, like, wake up, man. You know, you got by because you had Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Now you take this team to another level. How about you coach yourself? How about you coach the talent up? CeeDee Lamb, he's walking to the line of scrimmage. He gets an illegal shift. I would rip his ass off the sideline. You're not involved in the game. Give me players that want to win. I don't understand the mindset of Big D in Dallas. Their defense kept them in it, but the offense was completely atrocious. And you know what? If I'm Jerry Jones and I'm management right now, I fire Kellen Moore just the way the Giants did midseason with Jason Garrett. Nice kid, but maybe he's a fish out of water in terms of the results that I'm trying to get here.
Dallas needs to find out what happened in the second half of the season with the offense, because everything you said is true, but you made it sound like it's one game. What happened yesterday has been going on for 6-8 games. other than the games against the NFC East, right? They blow out the NFC East. Against anybody else, they were struggling. Yeah, that offense had issues all over the place. Zach had no confidence, would not throw the ball into the secondary. The penalties, what are they, 31st team in the NFL in penalties? They had 14 yesterday. And listen, I know some Cowboy fans are complaining. All right, there were a couple penalties, maybe two or three I thought were iffy. They always were all legit. I mean, they're tackling offensive linemen. What the hell are we doing here? I mean, the Randy Gregory on that second to last drive where he tackles the offensive. What are you doing?
But could we get rid of that? But, George, can I ask you a question? And maybe I'm in the minority on this, but could we go back to the old style of football? That's what defense is. Who cares if the offensive lineman was tackled? I mean, at the end of the day, we're making it so easy. We got to set these rules. If you're an offensive lineman, you can't get to the second level of the linebacker. So be it. Then go back to the gym. I mean, the NFL rules in terms of we're going to just allow these offenses to score at will. We don't want any type of pushback from the defense at all. And let's go back to the old school way where the defensive lineman could stick his hand right in the offensive lineman's face. I mean, let's go back to the old school rules. This is absolutely ticky-tack BS calls that allow these teams to sustain drives is absolutely ridiculous.
This is where I would disagree. None of those calls yesterday were BS. I mean, Randy Gregory.
What, the hand in the face? So what?
He was.
Who cares?
I mean, you can't have that. Come on, that's crazy, Joe. Say it's okay to have your hand in someone else's face and rip his eyes out. Come on. That's nuts. The penalty was legit. I mean, these penalties, I can't argue. Like, oh, Christ, he was ripping his helmet off. There were some certain penalties I would like to get rid of, but those were weird. Dallas had no one to blame but themselves for the penalties.
Go back to the days where the quarterbacks were pinatas, Ron Jaworski and LT. Let's go back to those days. Coming up next, Wild Card Weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continuing the conversation, Wild Card Weekend, we talked about the Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers. Turn our attention quickly to the battle tonight in L.A., the Rams and Matt Stafford taking on Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Spread on FanDuel right now, 3.5 in favor of the Rams, -110 either way. Total is at 49.5. Juice to the under at -112, George. I still like Arizona. Both teams split the series. The Rams did get the victory on the road at the end of the season in the month of December. Did pick up a 7-point victory, but I think Arizona's live. +156 on the money line. Also like them, +3.5 in this ballgame. I'm going to lean to the under, though, thinking that both teams will probably want to run the football first and then rely on play action in this matchup.
This is going to be an interesting game tonight. I think we might get our best game of the weekend, or at least the best game in Cincinnati. I do worry about the Rams twofold on the Rams. All right, one, I think we're all concerned about Stafford. Well, what Stafford are we going to get tonight? Any kind of consistency here? For four quarters? Two quarters? One? I don't know. We'll see. And two is the Rams, you know, their secondary is a little beat up. I mean, you signed Eric Weddle, who hasn't played in a couple of years. He's sitting on his couch like you and I watching the games. Hey, Eric, want to play football again? Sure. And he's going to play tonight. That can't be good. You know, their safeties are both out. Starting safeties are both out for the Rams. So, God, I think Kyler Murray's going to try and target them. Going to try and target them and see what's up there. So I wonder how that's going to play out here. But in the end, Joe, I think we'll get a close game tonight. I think we might get our best games in Cincinnati.
Let me ask you this. If Arizona does get past the Rams in this matchup, they're a 25-1 shot on FanDuel to potentially win the Super Bowl. This team was the team, right? Week number 9, week number 10, we were talking about how hot Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury were in terms of the dynamic duo. Can they get it back on track? If they get this victory, even though DeAndre Hopkins has been out of that lineup for much of the second half of the season, do you feel at 24-1 they have good value to potentially steal it over the next few weeks?
They're banged up. Listen, Arizona is banged up as well. I don't know what J.J. can give them if he's going to play tomorrow night. DeAndre Hopkins, they hope he can come back at some point during the playoffs. But even if he does, what percentage is he going to be at? I doubt it'll be anywhere near 100. He's maybe good to get on the field but not be the old pro DeAndre Hopkins we're used to seeing here. Can they get there? I mean, if they win tonight, they'll play Tampa Bay. A Tampa Bay team is, I mean, this is a mash unit of a Tampa Bay team, right? Who's left that's going to play? Maybe they'll get some guys back tomorrow, but we don't know about Wirfs. He's got the ankle slash knee injury. He may not be banged up. Jensen came out for a little bit yesterday as well. So yeah, I think they can get that far. You know, championship game, you're going to Green Bay or you're playing San Fran, the rivalry game, there's a shot, yeah. There's a shot, but I don't know. I don't love this Arizona team. I just don't love them. I mean, when you think about it, it's Kyler Murray sort of robust here, right? There's not much else. The running backs are banged up with Edmonds and Connor, both sort of iffy for tonight. I think they'll get at least one to play tonight, but I don't know. Once again, I don't know what percentage they'll be at. Can they finish the game? So I think a lot would have to go right for Arizona. I don't think I would pick them to make the Super Bowl right now. No.
See, I like them in terms of if they get through the Rams, I actually like them matching up against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And we'll get into that performance against the Philadelphia Eagles in a couple seconds. In terms of the look-ahead line, depending upon who wins, they have FanDuel does. Tampa Bay instilled as a four-point favorite over the Rams. They're minus 210 on the money line. Rams are an underdog at plus 176. Remember, it is a rematch of the regular season game and where the Rams dominated. They were catching 1.5 at home and dominated Tom Brady for a double-digit win. On the flip side, if Arizona does win the ball game, they will be at least early 6-point underdogs on the road in Tampa next week, plus 220 on the money line. They do have Tampa Bay instilled as a money line favorite of minus 270 on FanDuel. I think they can make a run. Obviously, it comes down to this divisional game, but I do feel that Christian Kirk could step up. I think James Conner and the running game need to be effective. But at the end of the day, we just talked about it. In terms of Eric Weddle, the defensive secondary being abused and banged up, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm looking to push tempo early and often, looking to get Kyler Murray into a rhythm, and I think they could do it. I think Kyler Murray breaks out tonight, maybe not so much on the ground, but through the air. His total is 255 and half. So I go over that total in this ball game. We'll talk about it as the week progresses, George. But I do want to talk about Cincinnati too, because to me, they showed me something against Las Vegas, not just from an offensive perspective, but that defense holding Derek Carr to field goals and not touchdowns, the way they stepped up, a young team didn't win a playoff game in over 30 years. They get the 7-point win. That was gutty. They now go on the road to face number one ranked Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. They are 3-point underdogs right now on FanDuel. Total set at 47. I'm buying in. Broadway Joe wants to wear Cartier glasses. I'm with them. I'm rolling with Cincinnati in this ballgame.
Yeah, the Bengals are playing well. You know, they're playing well. They made it a little bit interesting during the Raiders game. Maybe they didn't put them away, right? Except for a couple of field goals that are getting those touchdowns. You got to turn those into touchdowns. I think the Cincinnati-Tennessee game is going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it, Joe. I don't love Tennessee. I know they're the number one seed. Congratulations. But once again, Derrick Henry, is he going to be with Derrick Henry before he got the injury, or is he, you know, an injured Derrick Henry still, you know, weighs some, I guess, some drawbacks here. We don't know. I think he'll be pretty close to healthy. But Tannehill's had I'll be the first to tell you, it's been tough to judge Tannehill this season because, you know, Julio Jones has been out, A.J. Brown's been out. You know, and you lose your top two, and then you lose the running back as well. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough here. But I don't trust him. I just don't trust him here. I want to pick Cincinnati. I truly do. So I like this team. I like the team. I hate the coach. Probably not as much as you, but I hate the coach. I think Zach Taylor does hold this team back. I want to pick Cincinnati here. I truly do. And I probably will take the points in this game because I think too much, you know, about Derrick Henry, about Tannehill, even though Julio Jones, he's going to step up. That's a lot of ifs for me here. So I want the Bengals to win. I'll take them, you know, when the spread comes out here. But I have a funny feeling Tennessee's going to squeak this out. I think Cincinnati will cover but lose.
Well, here's the thing in twofold when we look at number one seeds, right? NFC, it's Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. They are the front runners to win the Super Bowl at plus 370 on FanDuel. They have Tennessee instilled as plus 850 to win the Super Bowl. Behind both Kansas City and Buffalo, respectively, KC is 4-1. They have Buffalo at 5-1. So, I mean, that's interesting in terms of the lack of respect for the Tennessee Titans. Now, I will say, from the football matchup, you look at Las Vegas, they tacked on over 100 rushing yards in that ball game on the road. Josh Jacobs did rush for 81 yards on the ground. That would lead to the physicality of the offensive line of Tennessee and Derrick Henry to possibly be effective in this ball game. So they might get theirs, you know, from an offensive perspective. I will say I lean to Cincinnati. My heart is rooting for Joe Burrow here. But the best bet that I see early on is the over 47. I think both teams can score, whether it be Tennessee on the ground, Cincinnati through the air. We could have a shootout in this ballgame. So I love the over 47 in Nashville this weekend.
Yeah, I expect points to be scored as well. I'll be on the over. Also, assuming the weather isn't brutal here. Remember, we are in mid-January. Well, it'll be late January, but then next weekend. So you want to check the weather just to make sure we're not getting wind, snow, rain, whatever you might get here. But I'm with you. I think points will be scored. 27. You only need 24 points from each team. Both teams do have an offense. Cincinnati, I expect to score, honestly, at least 23 to 26 points this game. If they don't, they have no chance to win this game. They're not going to win this game 17-14. So, yeah, give me points in this game as well. I'm with you.
Now, were you shocked in terms of how Cincinnati was able to hold on in the second half in terms of, I didn't think that Zach Taylor made some great calls in terms of the final drive, right? He comes right out. We know Las Vegas had a couple of timeouts, run on first down, run on second down, and then obviously he puts Burrow into a very crucial third and long situation. They punt the football back to Derek Carr and the crew, and we know what happened after that. Didn't think he called a very good second half game plan. Actually thought that he was out coached by the coaching staff of Bisaccia and the crew in terms of second half adjustments. He's going to need a better effort going up against Vrabel in this ballgame.
Oh, agreed. Listen, I think Zach Taylor hurts this team. I'm starting to think most head coaches hurt the team, by the way. You know, but Zach Taylor, I definitely think hurts the team. So I'm with you there 100%. I probably worry about him more than I worry about the Cincinnati defense. You know, because he can do stupid things or things that aren't smart there. Was I worried about them holding on? Yeah, of course. You know, I don't. For some reason, I kind of like the Bengals. Maybe I feel bad for them, but I kind of like Burrow, Chase, Boyd, Higgins, the passing game. I think they're a fun team to watch, and I've always dug the uniforms. You know, I kind of like the stripes on the helmet and all that. So, yeah, I kind of enjoy the Bengals here, and I want them to do well. And maybe I just don't like the Titans, you know, ex-Houston Oilers and all. So, whatever. I do worry about Taylor. If they let Burrow cook and he's not making a mistake, yeah, he's going to win some ball games. He's going to put up some points here. I found the game funny on or interesting on Saturday. It looked like the Raiders were playing. Listen, we'll let Chase catch 1,000 balls, but it's all in front of us. It's all going to be 5 to 10-yard little dunks and dunks. We're not going to let him get behind. He's not going to make the big play. That's what it kind of looked like to me. We're literally paying bend but don't break. And they actually played that pretty well when you consider that they held up the field goals over and over again. You know, in the end here, I didn't understand the last drive for the Raiders. You know, even the one where you finally throw the ball for Carr. Why didn't you throw the ball in the end zone? Even if, it wasn't intercepted, which, by the way, should have been knocked down, not picked, it wasn't going to be a touchdown anyway. Once again, you gave yourself no chance to win there. You're just going to tackle at the 1-2-yard line. So, like, what are we doing here? It's amazing to me, Joe, how stupid some players are. They just don't get game mechanics here. How do you not go into that play when you're Derek Carr? All right, this ball has to go to the end zone no matter what. I don't care if I'm scrambling for my life. Just throw it to the end zone. Just throw it. Doesn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you this. Waller makes the one-handed catch at the 19. He puts you in a position to obviously, you know, win that ball game or at least tie it up. And, you know, you spike the ball with 29 seconds. So you wait.
Why are you doing that?
I know, wasted a down with that, which was, you know, at the end of the day, you need as many plays as possible. Maybe you have a jump ball to Waller if you're Derek Carr in that situation. They panicked. So we'll see what happens for Cincinnati on the road. There is a great weekly special on FanDuel for this ball game. If you want to back the Titans, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones to combine for 150 plus a $1.25. When we come back, talk about the other games in the AFC and NFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping Wild Card Weekend. Talked about the big ball game in Cincinnati between the Bengals and Raiders. Recapped it. I talked about some great weekly specials on FanDuel. George, I talked about one of them in terms of Julio Jones and obviously A.J. Brown combining for 150-plus receiving yards. They also have one for Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon. Same thing in terms of 150-plus. They're $1.25. You like any of those entering divisional championship Saturday and Sunday? I mean, Henry and Mixon, if he is going to play, $1.50 plus at 125 plus 125 isn't bad value at all.
No, it's not. You're taking some risk. I think Henry does play, but you're taking some risk that he may not be Henry, right? We don't know that for sure. We assume he is, and I assume he is as well. So I don't mind this because you said Price is good. You know, Mixon didn't have a great game on Sunday, and the offensive line still has work to do in the run game there. Yeah. Tennessee, a decent defensive line here. So I don't think this is a gimme, mind you, but I like the value. I'd probably go for it as well. But I think if you do this, you're probably hoping that Henry gets you at least 90 of that 150. I think that's what we're going for there. You need Henry to get the lion's share of this.
Right. You're right, because Mixon, I believe, ended the game with 48 yards. So if he, let's say he's not even utilized in the run game, Cincinnati wants to attack over the top with Higgins, Boyd, and obviously Chase, he might get limited carries in this ball game, right? Unless they have a lead, and in terms of wearing down and sustaining drives, maybe in the second half is your best bet outside of Derrick Henry carrying the load for maybe 80 to 100. I think you really need Henry in the area of about 100 for this ball game, which is very doable. We just talked about Josh Jacobs breaking out for 81 yards on that defense over the weekend. Maybe Henry, if he is healthy, he's had basically 10 weeks off, right, in terms of rehab. Maybe he can go and give you a burst in the first half of this ball game. Let's look at some of the other games in terms of this coming weekend. When you look at the divisional game in Lambeau, and we look at Jimmy Garoppolo on the road catching 4.5 again. Now, we know about Bosa's injured for the 49ers, Warner as well. That'll definitely affect them. I can't see Jimmy G playing a flawless game. Almost cost him in terms of the interception that allowed Dallas to score and cut it to 23-17 going up against A-Rod. I'm going to take Green Bay here early, 47.5. I think in order for San Francisco to win this game, it's got to be an under. I lean to that. Don't love it. Under 47.5 in this ballgame.
Oh, certainly agree with you about the under, right? That's the only. It's just like yesterday. The only way they could win was going to be an under. If it gets to a shootout, they're in a lot of trouble here. Now, in anything in Green Bay, of course, I want to know weather. All right? I want to know what the hell is happening up there. As far as Green Bay. The Packers are about as healthy as they're going to get, right? Guys keep coming back for them. So they're looking really good. They're primed. They are certainly primed. There's a reason why most people assumed going into the playoffs they were coming out of the NFC. And I do wonder, once again, this might be their toughest game because I do like the way San Francisco's playing. I didn't like, listen, if the Cowboys would have won that game yesterday, we'd be crushing Shanahan today for his calls in that game. He didn't coach all that well in the second half either. And I kept punting the ball back to the Cowboys. My God, go for it on fourth and two. I mean, this is just weird. And the one time they did go for it, they got it, but the guy wasn't set. So he got called back here. So, yeah, but I think we'd be crushing them if they would have lost that game. But here's the calls. But I think you said it already. Is Bosa going to be cleared? I don't know. Wow. Warner? Is he going to be play? Is he going to be healthy, fully healthy if he is playing? Oh, boy, those are massive injuries. Massive injuries. If both guys are out, they don't have a snowball's chance in hell.
FanDuel thinks that they'll play. Well, not Warner as much as Bosa. They do have a divisional special up on FanDuel. Nick Bosa to record one sack. Jimmy G to throw one touchdown. Elijah Mitchell to rush for a touchdown, plus 350. So the book sort of indicates that he might be ready for that ball game, but it is a risk if you book it and he doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it is a risk. I assume Bosa, with the concussion, you always assume they're going to play the next week. It probably works out in your favor 80, 85% of the time where the guy does get cleared. But he didn't look good yesterday. The fact that he didn't come back in the game yesterday surprised me. Once again, playoff game, I assume these guys coming back in. And he didn't. So we'll see. There is a risk involved here if you're going to place this bet now. We don't know for sure. I think more than likely, yeah, he probably does. The numbers tell us that. But there's no guarantee there. So there's some risk involved here. How much risk do you want to take?
Right. Now, Jimmy G threw for .172, did have the critical interception. We know Debo rushed for over 70 in that ball game against the Dallas Cowboy defense. Huge special in terms of going up against Green Bay on FanDuel. If you believe Debo Samuel's the savior for the San Francisco 49ers, I think he's about 85% of the offensive productivity for this team. They have him to rush for 50 yards in this matchup and to receive for 100. So a buck 50, 50 on the ground, 100 through the air receiving. 9-1 on FanDuel. Do you think that Debo in the cold weather can get it done against the Green Bay Packers secondary for 100-plus in this ballgame? Honestly, I think the X factor for me, if San Francisco is going to win, is not so much Debo, but it is George Kittle that really had a quiet day yesterday. He wasn't a big part of that offense. I think it's Kittle that has the potential to step up in this ballgame. But would you take a shot at 9-1 on FanDuel?
On Kittle? No.
No, on Debo.
I think, listen, it's going to filter through Debo. It has to filter through Debo. He is the man. His explosiveness is fantastic. They can put him anywhere. Right now they're asking, is he a better running back or a better wide receiver? He's been that good, right? That good. So, yeah, I think Debo is the man there as far as that's concerned. With Kittle, my problem is this. You said he had a bad game last week. Well, he's had a bad month. All right, he hasn't had more than 20 yards receiving in a game since week 15. He had three monster games in a row. Seattle, 181 yards against Seattle, 151 against Cincinnati, 93 against Atlanta. Last month, 21, 29, 10, 18. Something is wrong. Has to be an injury here, Joe. Has to be. You don't just stop throwing to the man. It doesn't make any sense. You just don't stop throwing to the guy. It has to be an injury here. During those last four games, he's been targeted 15 times. So you're talking four times a game. That's it. And he's caught, 3, 8, 9 of those. In my mind, something has to be wrong here. Although, I saw the pass he caught yesterday. He looked fine. It was an 18-yard pass. He looked good. But why else aren't they using him? Are they keeping him in to run all the time? To block? Okay, I guess that could be. But you don't do that to George Kittle over and over and over again. Either Shanahan is completely screwed up by forgetting about him, or in my mind, there has to be an injury going on here because the numbers tell us it's not going to happen. What, are they going to unleash him on Saturday night? Maybe.
Yep, that's what I think. And as the stakes get higher, you need to save an out game plan. I always say this in terms of the college game. I talk about it in terms of, what makes Bill Belichick and New England so good up until this point, obviously prior to the blowout by Buffalo, is that they have the ability to adapt and change. I call them the chameleon. Just when you game plan for, let's say, Debo, Brandon Ayuk led all the receivers yesterday, there's Kittle, right? And to a degree, that's what Kansas City does as well with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. We've seen Kansas City morph to a capacity in terms of, look at the early part of the season. Teams were taking away Kelce. They were taking away Tyreek Hill to a degree. And all of a sudden, it was Darrell Williams. It was Edwards-Helaire in the running game. And then all of a sudden, it was guys like DeMarcus Robinson last night, Byron Pringle. They have the ability to morph into different schemes depending upon what you take away. And if you're Green Bay, and you're LaFleur, I'm not allowing number 19 to beat me. I'm double teaming him. I'm hitting him every time he comes off the line of scrimmage. Every time he's in the backfield and he wants to run the football, I'm telling Rashawn Gary, I'm telling those linebackers, you know what? You tackle him, you push him down, you force him to get up, you make his ass work every time if he wants to be the guy. He's 200 pounds, and I'm not allowing Debo Samuel to beat me in this game. I'm allowing other playmakers. So I think George Kittle could have a breakout performance. There is no total on him, but his receiving total against Dallas was a pedestrian 50.5, George. So let's assume, all right, you want to give it maybe 3 or 4 more yards. You're telling me George Kittle can't break out for a 54, 55-yard performance or even 60-plus on the road in Lambeau Field?
Checking the weather here for Lambeau, by the way, for those who are interested. It's going to be not brutal, 22 degrees during the day, but it's a night game. The low is 8, so it's probably talking somewhere in between there in the teens, I imagine, for this game. It doesn't look as of right now, and this is very early. We know the weather can change between Monday and Saturday, but no precipitation. This thing is a 25% chance. Looks like no. Wind about 13. Shouldn't be a problem for Aaron Rodgers. He can throw through that. Maybe a little bit of a problem with Jimmy G, but nothing I'm really worried about here. So the weather doesn't look like it's going to play a factor here, other than it'll be cold, which, yes, could affect San Fran a little bit. They're not used to it. Green Bay is. Hell, they practice in this crap. So that could be a problem here. Listen, Green Bay is about as healthy as they're going to get. They got Alexander back. They got Bakhtiari. Everyone's there. Rodgers had a couple of weeks off of it. So I think the only chance I really give San Fran here, well, there's two chances. One, you do it, all the runs, and you keep control of the clock. Right? You keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands again. That could be a problem. Right? I can certainly see that working for you there. And two, Green Bay gets off to a slow start, right? Because they really haven't played in 3 weeks. You know, it takes them a little bit to get into the groove of a football game again. And if San Fran can take advantage of that, you know, get up 7-10 points, could make it interesting. Good. But, you know, Green Bay will be able to run that ball at you. Unlike Dallas yesterday, who couldn't run. Give the ball to Tony Pollard. They'll run at you with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. Right? Aaron Dillon is a monster.
Yeah, and I said Aaron Jones has been basically the forgotten man as the season's progressed, right? He's coming off the injury. They sort of worked him slowly back into the lineup, right? Got involved against Cleveland in terms of the 24-22 victory. But A.J. Dillon basically has been that grounder and pounder to abuse opposing front sevens. I think in this ballgame, look for Jones to step up. Look for him to be utilized the way Pollard should have been utilized against the San Francisco defense. You want to run the football, it's very simple. You get your scat back or your third down type of back, which more Aaron Jones is. He's only about 195, 200 pounds. You get him out in space. You utilize screens. You utilize the short to intermediate passing game to put him on linebackers and nickelbacks. That'll open up the running game for A.J. Dillon as this game progresses. So the two players I think that are X factors for me, George, or George Kittle for San Francisco, I'm going to look to take his total. Aaron Jones in both rushing and receiving in this matchup going up against the San Francisco defense. Now, in terms of value, San Fran at the start of the day was 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now they're down to 10 after they took the 13-0 lead in the first half. It was immediately bet down. If they win this game against A-Rod, are you buying into Jimmy G, even though they could potentially represent the NFC? Do you feel they have what it takes to win it all?
No. I don't think they have a chance to win it all. I think they are literally a game-by-game team. You know, they can't look far ahead to, okay, we're going to beat, you know, you're going to beat Dallas. Then we're going to go beat Green Bay. Then we're going to beat, let's just say, for giggles, Tampa Bay. You know, then we're going to go beat, once again, for giggles, Buffalo. I'm not predicting any of that. Just throwing out the first teams that came to my head. All right, so no, because there are a lot of offenses there. The Dallas offense sputtered yesterday. Grant, I don't expect the Green Bay offense to sputter. I don't expect, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City, whoever they play, to sputter here. They'll need to score points. I don't think Jimmy G can do that.
Green Bay right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, +370 to win the Super Bowl, followed by Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-1, and then the Buffalo Bills at 5-1. When we come back, George and I will wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, I love that music, Georgie boy. Those are the mid-70s. Early 80s of NFL football. Crackback blocks. Wide receivers getting laid out. Crunch course. That's what it was all about back in the day. I mean, that's what made the NFL. We've been breaking down some playoff specials, George. Obviously, we talked about, you know, some weekly specials, some divisional playoff specials. You know what hit over the weekend? I don't know if you're aware. That FanDuel for the wild card round had a 17-1 shot. Right? In terms of any quarterback, any player outside a quarterback to throw a passing touchdown. And it happened in the Kansas City-Pittsburgh game with Travis Kelce tossing the touchdown pass on basically a third and goal. They had Kelce in the Wildcat. So anybody that took that on FanDuel, cha-ching, cha-ching, as Scott Wetzel likes to say, if you put 100 down, you got 1,700 in your pocket. Now it's 11-1 for the divisional round. You like that bet heading into next weekend?
Well, I don't think it'll be Kelce again, right? Teams will be looking for that. How about Debo? You know, Debo could throw too. Maybe a little trickery there in Green Bay. I do expect teams that are underdogs, you know, to, listen, let's break it out. Let's break out the trick plays here. You know, we saw Dallas, they tried to do it with Cedric Wilson while play was in motion, right? He caught the pass and tried to throw it across to Pollard. I don't think it would have been a touchdown. It would have been a big gainer if he connected there. Yeah, so I think teams are more than likely to try trick plays now. So I think there'll be a shot at it. Whether you get it or not, who knows? But there'll be a shot. At 11-1, like I said, we're not taking throw 150, you know, 100, 200 bucks on it, but 20 bucks, why not?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, who I believe or which game it could happen. Tennessee and Cincinnati. Because Derrick Henry, didn't he earlier this year toss like the Tim Tebow jump pass? Or was that a year
yes.
ago?
Yes.
Where
I think
he
it was
did
a year
that.
Ago, but yes.
Right, so keep an eye. Obviously, first game back with Derrick Henry. Team stacking the box. And the big man tosses a touchdown. Could be 11-1 this weekend on FanDuel. You never know. When we come back, we'll be diving in to the divisional playoff games in the AFC, NFC, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Mike Carver coming up next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.